Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of our This or That podcast with me, Rob.
And me, Dahlia.
Hi, Dahlia. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing today?
Very well as well. Anything new? Anything interesting going on?
In my life? No. Don't think so.
Okay. Moving on.
You?
Yeah, not really. Planning a holiday,
yes.
Which is actually going to relate to what we are. So this is how this podcast work. Dahlia and I will discuss a choice between two things. We don't know what the other person's opinion is, so we might end up agreeing a lot, or we might end up having a huge furious argument for your entertainment.
Oh yeah, that's true. I realise we haven't talked about it, have we? I don't actually know what your opinion is.
I have an opinion. We'll just see if it's the same one as yours. So
okay.
The two we are choosing between is number one, going on a sightseeing marathon. Would you mind explaining what a sightseeing marathon is for the listeners, please, Dahlia?
Well, going sightseeing, and it's a, you know, when it's a really long, what's the word? Not a journey, but where you see all of the sites, I suppose, and you spend all day doing it, and perhaps your whole holiday.
Yes, absolutely.
So you probably have an exhaustive list of all the things you want to see, all the things you feel you should see in a particular place, and you want to tick them all off your list.
Yeah, so it's going to see all the famous places when you're traveling. And the other one is doing a relaxing staycation at a hotel. So a staycation, if I'm not mistaken, is when you don't leave your home country. You stay in the country that you live in and take a holiday there instead of going abroad.
Well, I have something to add to this because apparently, a really funny short film I use in my lessons called It'll Come to Me, but it's about a couple who is set in America. They're American. They have a staycation instead of going on a honeymoon.
Uh-huh.
So because I watched this film, I realized that the word staycation means something different in America. It means where they actually stay at home and act as if you are like camping. So you don't have any of your luxuries. Like you unplug the TV, you don't really have internet. Perhaps you just play board games. Some people even pitch a little tent in the living room. As you said, in the UK, it means you stay in the UK, and obviously this became very popular in COVID. And just as a third branch to that, I know that many Koreans have this thing called a hokkans, which is like a portmanteau of hotel and vacation, I think. Anyway, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it means instead of going on a sightseeing holiday, you basically go to a hotel, maybe even in your city where you live, and you enjoy the luxuries of a hotel, and that's your holiday.
Interesting.
So you don't really do anything cultural. You just stay in a hotel and live a life of luxury for a few days.
I never knew these definitions. I only just knew the UK version of staycation. Mm. So without further ado, Dahlia, you have to pick one of these two choices. Which would you pick?
Well, as you know me and my personality, I can't choose things. I can never choose one or the other because I think about things a lot and I have reasons for both. So actually, I genuinely really like both and I have had both types of holidays. But for the sake of this podcast, I'm going to choose relaxing staycation, which I think I never would have done in my 20s, perhaps. I would have thought it was maybe a waste of time or not a good use of money, to be honest, because they're often expensive. But I had a kind of, not a staycation, but my sister has a child. And as you know, holidays with children are super hard.
Uh-huh.
She was like 1 or 2 years old. So we got a massive discount on this luxury 5-star resort. And we stayed there and we did nothing but swim and eat. And it was incredible.
Hmm.
Normally, I would think that's a bit of a waste of time. But the reason I choose this one is because if you have just a relaxing, like chill out time, you can choose to go on you can choose to go sightseeing if you want to.
Mm.
But if you have a sightseeing marathon, which I also think is cool because I love doing cultural stuff, if you miss something or you don't stick to your schedule, you feel as if you failed and you fit. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, definitely. if I was picking between the two, I can kind of understand why people would pick the staycation, but I would definitely pick the sightseeing marathon because that's always been how I travel.
Yeah, aren't you like a, didn't we have this conversation the other day that you're a proper, like a culture vulture when you go to a new place, you're not, you really want to see all the museums and that type of stuff.
Absolutely. So a good example would be my wife and I went on a day trip to London previously, and we did nine things in one day.
Oh my God, what did you do?
So we've been to London lots of times, so I can't remember which ones they were, but many of the things that we might have done in London would be things like the British Museum or the V&A Museum or the National Portrait Gallery or the Tate Britain. So kind of museums, art galleries, things like this. So it does end up being a little bit stressful. And I do wonder sometimes, maybe I would be enjoying this a little more if I saw less stuff, but I also have the part of my brain that says, were you going to this country, my intention is to see the best things in this country, and I would rather see more than less.
See, that's the thing, isn't it? It's this pressure that we feel that we have to, you know, there's this like almost like a bucket list for each city and that we have to do this and have to do that. But I don't know, as I get older, okay, first of all, I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but as you get older, you know, you life's stressful. I'm tired. Part of me just doesn't want to do all that stuff anymore because I'm just tired. Also, like obviously I love traveling. Who doesn't love traveling? Who doesn't love seeing new places? But you've got to plan all of that. You've got to, you know, you've got to make this itinerary. And sometimes, and this is a bit controversial, but obviously these places are famous for a reason. But part of me sometimes thinks like, well, I can see it on the internet. Sometimes I think I would rather have like an experience in that place that I can't have anywhere else. For example, if somebody lives there and they know this amazing little restaurant that they go and they know the people who cook the food and it's meaningful to them. That to me is a bit more meaningful now, if you know what I mean. Having like a unique experience instead of just something that I can see, I don't know, on the internet.
I can very much understand that. Like in a way, I suppose if I go on holiday and go to the sightseeing things, I'm going there and taking my version of a picture that I've already seen.
Yeah.
And you know, that is what I do, and I do find it meaningful. But I could understand in another way how it's. I suppose the other thing as well is I'm running around taking pictures really, really quickly when we go and travel somewhere. Because we're going around doing so many things, I maybe don't have much time to actually just stand there or sit there and take in the atmosphere.
Exactly.
It's more like, oh, I'll be able to do that when I look at the pictures later, but that's not
But we
ex
don't look at the pictures.
I do this. I'd spend ages putting them into folders and then, yeah, probably look at them one more time. Like, and that's it.
Exactly. But I do have this rule for myself. The other thing is that also, you know, I mean, obviously we want to take pictures because the point of the picture is that you know, if you are in it, it represents your experience. But you know, the more beautiful something is, in my opinion, especially the more grand, the less good the picture will be. That was a terribly not eloquent sentence. But because we, you know, with our teeny, we're looking at these amazing things, these wonders of the world through our teeny tiny crappy cameras. And we're not photographers. And also the other thing is that, you know, when you're in a place, whenever I look back at these pictures of these amazing things, yeah, they look okay, but they always disappoint me. And I realize it's because when you're in a place, it's like a multi-sensory experience. You're looking at the building, but you also have like, you know, the smell. Perhaps you're in a place where, you know, like the sun is setting and the air feels different and there's a breeze and it's like a whole experience. But then you look at this picture and the lighting's terrible and your camera could only capture half of it. And having said this, maybe I should eat my words because when I went to Athens, I went there on my own when I was quite young. I got up at 7 a.m. and spent like 6 hours in the archaeology museum, and it was phenomenal. It was great.
Wow. I think I know what you mean with regards to the photos because I usually look on TripAdvisor at these places before I go to them. And wow, some people are just terrible at like even basic photography. They won't even make any attempt to make it straight or you know.
The Eiffel Tower and your thumb is in it, like.
Yeah. Oh God, it's awful. It's absolutely terrible.
Exactly.
So yeah, I do try to. I usually take every single shot. I will take three pictures because then when I go back and look at it, one of them will be too much to the left, one will be too much to the right, and the third one will be in the Goldilocks zone, as we call it, which is just right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But surely you could also appreciate the staycation, right? Because I feel as if you and I are quite similar. We both enjoy doing things that require concentration and being on your own. Like, if you go to a hotel for 3 days, that means 3 days of reading, writing, looking at these pictures that you took. I like that, having that time to just,
This is true. I mean, I guess it also depends what your goal is for the travel that you're doing. What I think is a good argument from a Buddhist monk before, where he said, a lot of people go on holiday to relax, but what they do is they go to another country where they don't speak the language and they don't know where anything is. And
Exactly. Stressful.
exactly, he says, if you want to actually relax, you'd probably be better off staying at home where you know where everything is. And yeah.
Oh my God, I can advocate for this. Take a week off, do not go anywhere, and lie on that sofa. The home that you work your ass off, excuse my language, to pay for, enjoy it. Don't do anything. Because I think a lot of people, especially people with children, would love to have the luxury of having nothing to do. Because if you have kids and stuff, your whole day is filled with, I've got to do the cleaning, or I've got to do this, I've got to go to the doctors. Having a day where you don't have to do anything is a lot of people's, that is bliss to a lot of people. So I think if you can be brave enough to not call yourself lazy and see it as a responsible thing, you're recharging your batteries, do it. It feels amazing. You can actually finish that book. You can do all those jobs at home that annoy you on the weekend because, on the weekend you want to relax and you're like, oh, I need to paint that section of the wall and I need to fix that plug, but it annoys you. You can actually get those things done.
Okay, so a little bit of Dahlia wisdom there for a bit of Dahlia life advice, which I appreciate. So
Well.
I think we have to probably wrap it up there.
Oh, yes. I mean, I have so much more to say, but
We'll have to do in the next one.
well. We didn't even get to talk about your holiday.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, I'll probably have more to say about it when I've actually done it. So yeah. Okay. So
Well, nice to speak to you.
yeah, lovely to speak to you as well. I hope you all enjoyed this episode of the podcast, and we will go and make another one for you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See you, everyone. Bye-bye.